and welcome to the Gambling Files podcast, the podcast that still has a bit of cold, but has exciting news and brings stories from Barcelona. I'm one of your hosts, John Bruford, joined by your other host, Fintan Costello. Fintan, hello.
Hello, John.
So, didn't bump into you in Barcelona?
I wasn't there.
I did hear that rumor.
I wasn't there, unfortunately.
I was walking around. I've got a picture of you on a t-shirt.
Have you seen this man?
Have you seen this man?
Last seen at an Irish bar, most likely.
Last seen quaffing scones in Monaco. Well, you obviously didn't listen to the last episode that I did with Pini in Barcelona, because we had a discussion about scones.
Yeah.
Yeah. High level stuff, Fintan.
Fine. Good.
So, so I went to Barcelona.
Mm-hmm. Did you have fun?
Kind of. I did do quite a lot of work, which felt weird.
Never again.
Yeah, it did ruin the experience a little. But now I was doing some work on the Ice Daily thing. Which was they had really nice people working on it, so it wasn't like an onerous job or anything. It's just one of those things, you know, when you're at ICE, everybody's got a million things going on, so it can be quite difficult to find the one specific person that you need to speak to about that one thing. But still, it was great. It was kind of a pleasure to work on it. It was good, because that's all in house by Clarion now, which is new. So there was that. What else happened? I went to a fancy dinner.
Tell me all about the fancy dinner. How did it go? I saw the photos. They looked fantastic.
Oh, not that fancy dinner.
Oh, not that fancy, different fancy dinner? Oh, okay.
I mean, I did go to that fancy dinner.
What was the other fancy dinner?
Well, I ended up quite accidentally at an IGB executive dinner.
Nice. Why not?
Yeah, and
you're an executive in the media empire.
I happened to be with Luis Pereira from Asia Gaming Brief. Mm-hmm. So we both went down to this thing, and I can't remember. The restaurant was like a place. It was like named after a borough of London, but I can't remember which one.
Okay.
It was called something like Shoreditch or Stockwell or something like that. It wasn't Elephant and Castle. I know that. I remembered that. It wasn't a shitty area. Not dissing Elephant and Castle. We had some delicious food. We had some beef cheeks. Mm. I didn't ask which cheeks, but they were really tasty.
Didn't matter. They were good.
Oh, yeah. They were divine. In fact, I was trying so hard to stick to the high fat, zero carb that I had a bit of the guy next to me's food. Because it was Kyle Goldsmith from IGB. So I had some of Kyle's beef cheek, and Lewis left a bunch of his. So I had his as well. And then Sophie had organized it, saw me eating off their plates. And she's like, "Why? I didn't touch mine. I really don't eat meat." And I said, "Well, maybe I could have that for dessert." So I had her beef cheek as well.
Okay.
And then I still had dessert. Because I'm a terrible human being. I'm a bit fat. But it was nice. It was nice. That's good. It's Barcelona. There's a lot of good food in Barcelona.
It's hard to get a bad meal in Barcelona. You've really got to try.
Oh, I have managed it before. I really have. But I really had to go out of my way to do it. The full Barcelona experience. I heard some stories. I heard about a chap at the show who had his watch nicked. Had like a really fancy, like a Patek Philippe nicked.
Oh, you don't wear that to Barcelona.
Well, you don't now. He hasn't got it anymore.
Ludicrous.
It does feel like a schoolboy error. I don't think he heard the episode of the podcast where I said two things not to do. Don't get drunk. Don't wear a fancy watch.
Yeah.
I went there with Snoopy. I came back with Snoopy.
They took pity on you and gave you fatigue. Look at this. It's fucking amazing.
Tell the same time as yours, which isn't strictly true because mine gains time, of course. Yeah. Well, no, I did encounter some thieves.
Oh, for sure. I was not surprised.
I encountered two pickpockets on separate occasions. Yeah.
Where?
The first was on the metro, and the second was on the street.
It's the street crime in Barcelona is like real. Pickpockets, bag snatching, that kind of stuff. Like that's like life in Barcelona.
Yeah, but it's annoying because I've been to Barcelona loads of times and I've never had any trouble of any kind. I've been to like all these supposed kidnapping capitals and all that, and nobody's ever thought, "Oh, we'll kidnap him." Probably a bit heavy to lift, to be fair.
Nobody's paying to get him back.
Yeah,
is the actual calculus going on there, mate?
It's very fair. He's got a Snoopy. Nobody's paying for this fucker. Plus, we're going to have to feed him.
And he only needs me. Look at him.
Doesn't balance out. He's going to be having beef cheeks. Look at him. In fact, that'd be a good nickname for me.
Beef cheeks. I'm changing your name in my WhatsApp as we speak.
Anyway.
That is nice.
Yeah, so the first guy. So I was getting onto the metro and it was really quite busy. I was at the station where you change onto the line that gets to you. You're really doing it, aren't you?
Cheeks is two E's, right?
Yes, it is. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, okay. There we go.
Beef checks. That would just be odd.
Cheeks. Done.
So I'm getting on the metro. And I bought a hoodie a little while ago because my mum always used to buy me this hoodie from Fat Face, appropriately enough. And, you know, I opened it the first time and I'm like, "Mum, how did you know?" "I can see your face." "Oh, yeah." But it's just, and I wore it all the time and shit. And then, you know, a couple of years later, she replaced it because I'd worn it to death. And I still have the last one that she bought for me. But I bought my own for the first time last year. I don't think the staff in Fat Face are used to seeing middle-aged men cry in their store. And they're like, "Is it too expensive?" I'm like, "That's a bit cheeky." "No, it's just an emotional moment." So I bought this hoodie. And quite by accident, it's Barcelona proof. It's got zip pockets on it.
I love a zip pocket. Yeah.
So I've got all my shit. I've got a Kindle in there. I've got my wallet in there. I've got my phone in there. Not even in a conscious way. I just stuck my shit in there and went walking down to the, I'm getting on the tube and I must have put something back into my pocket and I'd left one of them unzipped. Well, I'm getting on the tube. It's very busy. And I think that this particular pickpocket, he had misjudged just how fully I filled my hoodie. I don't think he realized that my stomach filled that whole fabric cavity. And so I felt his hand slide into my pocket. And I turned to him and I said I think he picked up on my tone. I don't think his English was great. I said, "Take your fucking hand out of my pocket." And he goes like, what? I'm "Fuck off." And I look at this guy, right? And on his right hand, it's covered in thick bandages. The kind of bandages that no hospital would ever dress something like. And they were filthy. So that's not real. I could grab that and give it a squeeze, see if you really hurt, but filthy bandages on this end. His left arm, the one that's going into my right pocket from behind me, is completely hidden under a coat. I suspect that wasn't a real arm.
Yeah, they do fake arms. Yeah. So they'll have one fake arm and then they'll sneak it out from the coat. There'll be like a hole in their coat or something. They'll stick their arm out. And then they'll have inside pockets, so they'll dump the stuff in the inside pockets.
So he buggers off. Fair enough. But it was a really, really busy train. So he ends up coming back and having to get into the same carriage as me next to him. It was hilarious.
So you picked his pockets. just ragged on.
Do you know what? I should have just put his arm up his back and gone, give me all your money. Give me all the wallets. Of course, what I should have done was just drag him by his ear and go and find a Rosa, but I didn't.
The police don't give a shit. The police would have done nothing.
But I'd have probably gotten into trouble if I'd kicked the shit out of him, wouldn't I?
Basically, yeah. It's not, the street crime stuff's not enforced.
So the second one, right, this is fucking surreal. I'm walking along the street. I'm going back to my hotel. It's probably about 10:30 at night. And these two guys, so I'm immediately wary. Two men stopping me in the street at 10:30. They stop me and they go, do you speak English? And instantly I'm on high alert. Like, you're in Barcelona. You're asking me if I speak English. You want to know if I'm English. I go, yeah, why? And the guy, he's got his phone out and he goes, oh, we're trying to find this place. And I'm like, okay, show me your phone. Wouldn't show me the phone. So I'm thinking, okay, let's see how this develops. And the one guy, he's quite tall, looks a bit like Arnold Vosloo from the Mummy films. And they're telling me that they're Greek. The other guy is like, his nose is basically liquid. It's been broken that many times. And I'm thinking, I could get fucked up here. But let's see. And the guys go, so you're English, where are you from? I said, oh, you won't know it. He goes, so I'm going to Manchester tomorrow. I went, great. Yes, my son is in a judo competition there. Great, that sounds good. Yes. And then his mate says, do you know how much a judo suit costs in England? I just looked at them and said, how the fuck would I know that? Okay, I goes, you know, the guy said, the one guy's sort of at 45 degrees from me.
Yeah, so the one comes in from this, one's on front, one's on the side, right? Yeah.
The other guy wasn't within reach, so I think he was quite smart. But the one guy's like, he reaches across to me and he sort of pats me on my left arm with his left arm. So he's reached across himself to do that, which is immediately suspicious. He's patted me on my arm and tapped me on the chest and go, judo suit. While he's doing that, his right arm's gone underneath, hidden by my arm and his arm. He's looking me in the eye as he does it. And of course, I felt his hand meet the zip. So I just said, no idea. Sorry, lads, but enjoy your trip. Okay, have a nice evening. Bye. And went on my way. Didn't get mugged, didn't get turned over, but the skill and the audacity of doing that while looking me in the eye was just like, wow, I was not, that blew my mind a little bit.
Well, you know, in the Charles Dickens, like the Peter Fagan thing in Dickens, where like the kids are practicing to can't ring the bell, like that's real.
Oh no, totally. Like, I've seen like... that actually. I saw that in Victoria Station in London. I saw a kid pick somebody's pocket and I saw the whole process. I just happened to be glancing in the right. I wasn't looking at this guy's ass specifically. Mm-hmm. I just glanced there. The station was heaving and it happened just 6 feet in front of me. It was just a gap. And I saw this kid pull the wallet fast as you like, smooth as you like. Guy didn't even register. He pulled it and handed it straight off. The other kid was coming past at perfect timing. And I tried to follow it, like, just with my eyes. I'd lost it within three people.
Yeah.
The speed that they moved it was absolutely extraordinary. You stop him, you go, you fucking took my wallet. No.
Nothing on me.
I haven't got any wallets on me.
Yeah.
It's amazing. But yes, it's very real. But that has given me some investment ideas. I've got three children. Nobody is going to suspect a kid in a wheelchair. Kids, don't tell mum.
You can pay them in Robux. See this £50 note? This is worth 5 Robux to you.
See? You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Why not? Put them to work.
But it was, I mean, the event was superb. Really, really good. There was just like loads going on. The I was around the sustainable gambling zone quite a bit, and the stage and the headphones thing worked really well.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Is that for translation or something, was it?
It's both translation and keeping the noise down. And for listeners, you don't miss a thing.
That's clever, because that is definitely what an issue with those like speaking things on conference floors. It's just you can't hear a fucking thing.
Really, really good. Really impressed.
That's smart.
I caught a friend of the podcast, Brandy E. Black. Her panel. Met her chap Wolfgang as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a legend. Good. He's a bit of a hugger, Fintan.
Is he a bit of a hugger?
He is a bit of a hugger.
I love a hug.
But they were just honestly, I've got zero. Do you know what the best thing was for me this year, though? Because I was doing some stuff on the Ice Daily, I had one of the Clarion badges, which is access all areas.
Don't you know who I am?
Of course I can eat this food, sir. This is a private restaurant.
You're empty in one of the big stands fridge or something. Just like, no.
Okay. No, I've got to bring you the other water. This isn't approved. You could rob some cereal.
The power.
It was pretty sweet. I've got to be honest.
That's nice.
But you were missed.
Well, let's talk about the reason you were there. The reason I should have been there.
Well, Fintan, on the Monday night we had the Gambling Book Awards.
We did.
So I got to Barcelona on the Saturday. Mm-hmm. And the first author arrived on the Saturday, which was Connor Hutchinson, author of Dead Lucky. Connor took his girlfriend, so they made a weekend.
Lovely.
So they arrived on Saturday, so I didn't see them on the Saturday. Sunday, I went over to the hotel they were staying at, courtesy of the Gambling Book Awards, and I met with John Cohen, author of Losing Big. And Alex O'Brien, author of The Truth Detective, and Peter Venison, the fourth author. He wasn't getting in until
the Monday, I think.
Monday afternoon. So I spent a bit of time with John and Alex.
Lovely.
Chit-chatting. John's got an exciting new job. You know, John had a really long job title.
I saw, yeah.
Well, he's got a new job. He's, I can't remember what the title is.
Like the Men and Boys Council?
Yeah, Men and Boys Association of America, which is it's one of those organizations that has a really almost anachronistic feeling name, but actually it's just a really old organization.
Yeah, it's that was my guess.
But yeah, he's doing stuff for them in terms of sort of gambling education and stuff. Which I think is, chatting to him, it's something he's really passionate about. So I think that could be really, really interesting.
Yeah, I think so.
Alex was an absolute legend.
I'm sure.
It's fun. So I, everybody saw the trophies. The trophies inspired some lust, I think. I think they went down a real storm because for anybody that doesn't know, I approached a friend of mine who is she teaches master's level blacksmithing at a local arts college, and I asked her if she'd fancy doing some stuff for us. Ruth's husband Ollie. Who's also an old friend from sixth form and before days, he suggested one of Ruth's students to do it. and just went to this guy, gave him a very simple brief, and he produced these one-off trophies made with cast iron. But the genius part, and the part I was so pleased about, because obviously I had to carry all of this stuff as well, was that he made the bases hollow, so they didn't weigh many kilos. But they were really beautiful, and really, really striking. So we had arranged with the European Casino Awards, which I'm told that I mention every time I mention them that I thought them up and they were my baby, apparently.
Yes, I second that.
Because I saw James Bennett. James was on one of our tables, of course. So we had two tables at the awards, and we had, I think, four of our judges were on there. Jeevan was on there. Seamus was on there. Michelle was on there. I was on there. I'm not missing anybody, am I?
I think it was somebody else.
Oh, no, now I'm going to feel bad. I'll cut this bit out. We both know that's not happening.
The first edit ever. was Melanie there?
Yeah, but Mel was on one of the other tables. She was there. She's a judge for them as well.
She's in attendance. Yeah.
And we had the four authors, and we had various other people that we just thought were nice.
We had the three journalists as well.
Yeah, we had our three two shortlisted journalists and one being represented.
Yeah.
And we had Steve and Paul from,
GRS.
Yeah, the recruitment people. What's the web address, Vinton?
Can I remember? GRS-recruit.com?
And it is a hyphen. So those guys were on there, and our authors and the journos, and yeah, we were pretty noisy. It was good.
So, on brand.
So we got these two tables at the European Casino Awards, and the organizers of that, Data Team Business Media, publishers of Casino International and Gaming International Online, they basically introduced me. So I had a couple of minutes to just say what we were doing with the Gambling Book Awards, with the Gambling Industry Journalist of the Year Awards, Gijoti. It was lovely. And I've got to say, I did get a raucous welcome when I went up to the stage.
Good.
Well, I obviously I knew lots of people in the room. Plus we had our two tables. So honestly, it's not unfair to say the crowd went wild.
Shrug off the dressing gown like a boxer.
Okay. It's interesting you should say that, because I went up to the stage. I went up to the stage like this. Oddly, there were no photos of me doing that. Yeah. And when I was talking to Matt Broughton, the editor of Casino International, he said afterwards it was like a boxer doing a ring walk. So we went up and I was able to explain why we were doing it and what we were doing. And then we presented the award for Gambling Book of the Year 2025, which went to Sol, my friend and adversary, Sol Kersner, by Peter Venison, published by Ride or Die Press, which is a small South African publishing company. So Peter's 90 now. And it's his first book.
It's never too late, John. Never too late.
Well, that's what I'm doing. I'm going to start mine when I'm 88. I think that's probably fair. And I'll just write one really good one. I'm going to take the Harper Lee approach. Just going to write one and make it perfect.
Mic drop. Just live off the royalties forever. Done.
Which, if I'm 88, it's not even going to be that long. So everybody wins. So Peter came up, accepted the award, to a lovely reception. And then we announced Gambling Industry Journalist of the Year, Gijoti, which was, so we had a shortlist of three for that. We had Jess Marquez from IGB. Mm-hmm. We had, sorry, I have still got a cold. We had, Jake.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jake's one of those people like Madonna. I don't think you need to. I mean, I know his surname is Pollard. Don't get me wrong, but it's like you just need to say Jake, and everybody knows it's Jake. Do you know what I mean? But for the purpose of this podcast, we call him Jake Pollard. Can you remember what's his newsletter called?
Oh,
don't let me down now, Fintan.
Sorry, you know I'm really bad with names. Hang on. It is Gaming and Co.
Gaming and Co. Yeah, you find that on Substack.
Yep,
it's well worth a look. It's probably one of my three favorite. I think I've got three or four that I really really like. Anyway, so that's Jake. So Jake was there, and we had Zach Thomas Aku from Next.io. So Jess couldn't be there. So Jess was represented by Robin Harrison from IGB.
Nice.
Yeah, he was sitting next to me, and we're both like sober, but it's extraordinary. Before I quit alcohol and all of that, I was like, well, you know, what's going to be left without alcohol? Am I actually a person? But it turns out it wasn't the booze making me act like a cock. I just am one. And so Robin's pretty similar, I think.
Isn't he your other boss?
Yeah. So we were basically misbehaving. So that was good. And the winner of that was Zach. Zach from Next, and he was very very happy, very happy.
Good.
And got that beautiful trophy.
I did.
But it was just a really nice bunch of people at a lovely event, and the event did feel really nicely, sort of swanky, but not in a bad way. Like, it was a nice hotel. It was nice. The room was nicely done out, and all of that. It was a nice event. And a lot of, you know, industry bigwigs were there, both operator and supplier side. Some really nice folks there. So yeah, it was lovely. You'd have really enjoyed it.
I was very disappointed I couldn't make it.
Well,
next year.
People next kept year. Saying to me, "Where's Fintan? Where's Fintan? Are we really stuck with you?" yes you are. But no, it was lovely. It was absolutely lovely. Speaking of events and years and things like that, we've got a new sponsor on the podcast.
Do we? 2026,
right?
New sponsor for 2026. Who we got?
But hold up, right? Because this is what we've got. Is we've got new ad copy for Optimove.
We do,
right? Have you got that?
I do.
Okay. But we've got ad copy for the new sponsor as well. Which, do you want to do one and I'll do the other one?
Yeah, that's fine. Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, go for it if you want to do it.
Right. This episode is brought to you by Optimove, the creator of the positionless marketing and the number one player engagement solution for iGaming and sports betting operators.
Are you going to do the fuller one as well?
Oh, we're all in, babe. It's 2026.
Bring it.
Learn how Optimove's positionless marketing is changing how iGaming teams operate. Discover how operators are using Optimove's positionless marketing platform to launch. They're going to have to edit this. Marketing platform to launch. repetition. Come on now. To launch personalized CRM campaigns, dynamically change casino lobbies and bet slips, and create engaged, gamified experiences. Learn more at Optimove.com. But wait, there's more.
Oh.
To see how this approach comes to life, the Optimove Connect returns to London on March 11 and 12, 2026. It is the only user conference where marketers from around the world share real-world results of positionless marketing, driving efficiency and ROI. Register at connect.optimove.com.
That was very good.
So basically, look, they do great marketing. They'll automate the Jays is out of your marketing. They've got a really great event. I couldn't make it last year, but I saw the photos and I watched a lot of the stuff. Definitely, if you're in marketing or CRM, going to the Optimove event is absolutely worth your time.
They get in some really, really top end speakers. Like, it's the speaker thing on this is brilliant. So definitely worth registering for that for sure.
Have they ever had you as a speaker?
No, like, they get real speakers, not just chancers.
You're as real as.
I'm real, but no, they get proper bits. It's yeah.
So, I think now it's the time to unveil the new sponsor for the year.
Well, who have
You
we got?
ready? Are you ready?
I can't wait.
Are you sitting down?
So sitting down.
Are you? You're not using your standing desk.
Not right now. I'm slumped.
Wondering if I should say, are you standing comfortably?
Wait.
Okay. I'm going to have to do my best with this because I have got,
Now, before you start, remember
Oh.
they're brand new. Okay, so let's give them a good experience because they're going to listen to the first one.
Oh, yeah, they probably are, aren't they?
All right, so before we just start taking the piss out of sponsors, let's just.
I'm nothing if not a pro, Fintan. Today's episode is brought to you by Gaming Laboratories International. GLI is a world-class testing, inspections, and certification company committed to delivering the highest quality land-based lottery and iGaming testing and assessment services around the world. GLI provides suppliers, operators, and regulators with expert guidance for navigating the future of gaming and ensuring gaming innovations meet regulatory standards with confidence in more than 710 jurisdictions. For more information, visit gaminglabs.com. See, if they only listen to this episode, they'll never know what I'm really like.
Well done. And
Thanks.
GLI, the sponsor, that's nice.
Yeah, it was
It's
a
a nice
nice
endorsement.
surprise.
It's a nice endorsement.
Absolutely love it. They're also sponsoring the Addiction Podcast with Dr. Hour,
That would make sense.
which is, yeah, just lovely. Really nice to welcome them on board. I've known GLI and various people there for a long time, as any journalist in the industry has, and I don't think anybody's got a bad word to say about them. In terms of interpersonal and all of that, a really nice bunch of people. So, very pleased. If we happen to have some guests on from GLI, it's a coincidence.
Well, it's look, it's I think they're experts in what they do, and that's what this podcast is all about. We have experts come in and nerd out about their topic, and off we go.
You know what I really want to ask somebody from GLI? No, you see, you're assuming the worst. The
I am.
chap we had on doing the chaos events thing,
Oh, yeah.
part of that conversation, he was talking about GLI certification. And I was just thinking about, it's potentially a whole new field for them because we're talking variable physics. A curve, a different track on a on a on. You know what I mean? There's so many incredible number of variables in what they do. And they're going to have to sort of find some way to standardize or measure, or you know what I mean? It's, I mean, if that's your job, that would be awesome. It would be just be
Because it becomes more
fascinating.
like it, the thing is, because it becomes more like a physics experiment than a maths experiment kind of thing. You know what I mean? You're not just like verifying maths, like, okay, this is random. You're actually physically verifying the randomness of something,
Yeah.
which is like being in a physics lab doing stuff, right?
Totally. It's
And
not
it could all
software outcomes, it's real
and
world variables.
okay, now let's do this a million times and look at the distribution curve, right?
That's the really beautiful part, because of course
Which
when they're
is
testing stuff, they're doing it over and exhaustively saying, can
and
this
then
do
be,
this 10 million times?
because it's real world, do you end up with like wear and tear, which creates, like you remember like the roulette stuff. There was a whole tactic around like a slightly unbalanced wheel, or like when the physics kicks in, like just real, like just friction, or a groove gets worn in a certain way through repetition. Or just like the heat of the day or whatever, right? Like something's expanded or contracted, or it's
It's
super fascinating.
wild.
Super
So yeah,
fascinating.
I'd like to ask him about that.
That'll be it.
But so they're our new sponsors for the year, which we're very excited about.
Brilliant. So it's great to welcome back an old sponsor. And it's great to welcome a new sponsor.
Also, let's not forget an existing sponsor, which is the newly crowned World Gaming.
Rebadged World Gaming.
World Gaming.
It's a great name because they've just claimed it.
It
It's
is
just
surprising nobody was using it, isn't it?
like, yeah, we're World Gaming. Fuck your regional bullshit.
Yeah.
It's got Alex all over it. Little fingerprints. That's why I love him. That's why I love
Actually, I
him.
think
He was one of
I
the team for a bit, I
I
think.
it was somebody internal that did it, and I think we got it.
It was mentioned on the podcast we did before the ice.
Yeah. Did you hear the podcast we did at ICE, myself and Pinny?
No, I was too busy doing family stuff. I was busy.
We talked about feng shui and scones. We
I
did
read the
talk some.
description. I
We did
read the
talk about some other
descriptions.
stuff as well, probably.
That's Penny. He's a man of culture, and he can talk about many topics at length.
Well, I've had messages from listeners saying that it was a great episode. It's one of those ones you finish recording and just think, what have I done?
Vipton's gonna kill me.
You know the ones. But we recorded that at ICE. So it's really kind of Penny to just take an hour out and sit down and,
Yeah, he's a
and
busy
find the
dude.
recording room, which was absolutely in the back of beyond. I couldn't find it.
That's that was my fear. But well, look, they're super professional, so I'm not surprised.
Luckily they are, yes. So this is the whole episode today. It's introducing our
This
sponsors.
is
It's talking about the Gambling Book Awards. It's talking about pickpockets. But yeah, don't be put off by that. Don't be put off by my stories about going to Barcelona, because fundamentally there are plenty of things you can do to mitigate. Wear a Snoopy watch. Nobody will care. Don't get drunk and get a fat face hoodie, basically.
on that bombshell.
It's been a pleasure, Fintan.
Yeah. 2026 starts now. Let's go.
If you've enjoyed this episode of the Gambling Files podcast, please find us on LinkedIn. Give us a big, juicy, succulent like. That nearly went wrong. You can find us under the name The Gambling Files Podcast. You can find us on Twitter under The Gambling Files. I think the handle is just at Gambling Files. You can connect to myself, John Bruford, or Fintan Costello, also on LinkedIn. We're also both on Twitter. And you can find all of our previous episodes at www.thegamblingfiles.com. If you enjoyed it, please share. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your colleagues, and we'll see you next time.